Good morning. Such as it is, joining us this morning is Fortuna City Manager Merritt Perry. As you undoubtedly are aware, there have been some technical difficulties with CBS. This one's at an uplink out of Phoenix.
Oh.
And it's all the CBS product and ABC. They handle both of them. And the really challenging, fun thing, they don't know when it's going to be fixed.
I guess you just have to go back to local broadcasting, huh?
Yeah, it's like, you know, have somebody here as often as you can and do what you can do, do the best you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might even be more interesting.
Depends on what side of the county you're on, dude. We could have the best of Merritt Perry all day long if you don't watch out.
You lose a lot of listeners.
Every hour we'll have that 1 minute snippet. Oh, boy. Leading off with, why do we say it? Are you ready?
I'm never ready, but let's go.
All right. Why do we say toe the line?
Ooh, I don't know the original context, but towing the line implies, you know, doing your part to pull a larger thing together, pull a ship. Maybe it's towing a line of a barge up a canal. I don't know. That's my guess.
You weren't big in track and field either, were you?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
Unlike their American cousins, entrants in a properly British foot race of the last century were not required to come up to the scratch line. Instead, the official solemnly intoned, "Gentlemen, toe your marks." Naturally, every contestant wanted to be as far forward as possible at the moment a race began. But an entrant who pushed toes a trifle past the starting mark was thrown out of the contest with no second chance. It took both practice and careful attention to toe the mark without getting past it. Hence, the English sporting term came to be used on both sides of the Atlantic to mean meeting a standard or abiding by a rule.
Okay, I was totally wrong. I feel I'm starting at a disadvantage today. Brian, what do you have next?
Well, you know my extensive research that I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, in preparation for the show. So
my position of power is gone.
Yeah. Yeah, covet it when you have it, right? Oh, my. The windstorms. Yeah, since we got together, we've had these windstorms. Last time we talked earthquake.
Yeah.
Now it's windstorm. So I guess flood is on the agenda for February.
or drought, back to drought.
Yeah. any slides, any of that kind of stuff in the kind of the foothills, so to speak, that you have to deal with?
Yeah, and you know, the city itself managed to do pretty well. There were a few slides around the outside of the city. There was one of them up on, I believe it's Paradise Drive, but it was in the county. And I think that was pretty well covered in the news, but there was about 7 homes and kind of a, just what you don't want, a steep part of a hillside, you know, right above another home or residence, and that's where it slid, probably the worst possible spot. But they were able to get it together and get access back there. So I know that was important for the emergency services, having that many people up a road to be able to get back through there. So I think they resolved that, and I know that the county was helpful as well.
Yeah, you don't think about access unless it's your access.
Right.
And all of a sudden it becomes a significant issue.
It becomes very important, right?
Yeah.
All of a sudden it's emergency. Then there was another one in the county off of Upper Ninth Street, and there was some trees fell across a woman's driveway, so city crews went up and helped remove those just to get her out.
Did she get the firewood out of the deal?
I don't know. I think we just cleared those and left, and, you know.
Oh, let her cut it up herself?
Cleared the road. We got her out.
So you're concerned about aerobics and health fitness program that you left?
We did not bucket, split it, and stack it, if that's what you're asking.
What kind of city?
It was in the county. We were already doing the county a favor.
Yeah. I bet she buys things in Fortuna.
I hope so. And hopefully she'll continue now.
Yeah. We heard this morning that the Fed is probably going to bump it another 0.25%. When that happens, what does that do to financing for the city? Are the bonds that you've let, are they tied to that at all, or cost of living? Is there any impact, or is it just on the next issue you're going to have to deal with whatever the figure is?
Yeah, so a lot of the financing that the city has are set. So the city has cash balances and some of their utility funds and the general fund. And so actually our finance director has made some pretty good moves. So he's moving, you know, the surplus funds that we're not required to retain in reserve for immediate use. He's putting those, we're seeing higher interest rates on the city's investments. So you know, that actually ends up being a net positive for the city's bottom line. But the other, there's the other side of the coin, right? Which is people are spending less money, and the general trend that our sales tax consultants and you're seeing across the state is that, you know, sales tax, what people are buying, is kind of leveling off, you know, could go down slightly or stay a little bit flat is what the projections are right now. So again, you know, property tax doesn't change that much. That's one of our bigger sources of revenue for the, that's a big source of revenue for the city, but by and large, sales tax is the largest and most important. So when you see that change, it has a big impact on the city. So we start worrying when we see those changes, and, you know, we don't have enough cash on reserve to offset those losses, but it's just how many things can you make go in the right direction, right? So if you can make your cash earn more money, that's going to go in the right direction. If you can keep your spending down, that's going in the right direction, you know, and you just hope that you don't see a massive slide of the economy where you really see that sales tax drop.
Yeah, I heard, I don't know, one of the guys this morning as I was walking through the room, October, it started getting a little soft.
Yeah.
Housing certainly has softened up significantly. Automobile sales, but neither of those really impact you guys direct. I mean, you got a couple of car dealerships, but it is,
yeah.
Do they represent enough of the income versus, I guess, the more brick and mortar?
They'll change a little bit. A big one is gasoline. When gas prices went up, there was more sales tax on gas, so it actually was helpful to the city.
So you were the only guy applauding that it went up to 30 cents last week?
I had to pay my share of
that
as well.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, the trend was really obvious. You could see with high gas prices that high sales tax return, and as it went down, you could see it drop that much quickly. So there's some things that act opposite of each other to offset the effects, which you just really – everything's kind of a trend.
So with the gas tax, is that – designated specifically or earmarked specifically for roads? Or is that a general fund?
So gas tax is, I'm talking about sales tax on gasoline. So there's also
the gas tax
goes towards roads, right? There's a certain amount. The gas tax goes towards roads, and you have specific uses that has to be used for. And really that goes to the state and trickles down through a variety of different programs for transportation. But the tax on gasoline is separate. That goes to the city's general fund.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Murphy's Markets has everything you need to get through your day the healthy way. From drinks to snacks and everything in between, right now, Amy and Brian coconut water is only $1.99. Brew Dr. Kombucha drinks are also just $1.99. And Annie's homegrown products are $2.49. A 6-ounce Yoplait yogurt is only 79 cents. And don't forget about Chicken of the Sea tuna, 4 for $5. Get a boost for your day by stopping by Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Merritt, the challenges, we've had a couple of different folks talk about housing in the last week or so. Are you seeing housing starts being applied for in Fortuna? Are you going to start to participate in that activity that seems to be going on around Humboldt Bay?
You know, it really hasn't been dormant. You know, the city hasn't gone after projects like that with the state subsidies, like Project Home Key. There's been some of the tax subsidized projects that Danco's done. There's been a couple of those in the city for senior, and then they've done other low-income projects. They haven't done one in Fortuna lately, but there's been a lot of development of multifamily housing. Most recently was Kramer's subdivision. I think it's 60 or 73 units, something like that, on Smith Lane. And then there's been kind of a steady development of multifamily housing projects in the city. So it really has never slowed down. We've had a consistent, I wouldn't call it a surge, but a real steady level of multifamily development that isn't city subsidized or sponsored.
So are you out from under the state's housing ratio edict thing?
Yes. You know, so we have met.
Notice my technical on that one.
Yeah. We've met many of the goals for several of the categories except the low and extremely low. And so we do have the property available for that in the city, and I think that's the criteria that we have to meet, is have the property that's designated for that and available.
So it doesn't have to be constructed? It just has, you have to have the
right,
designation
the
for somebody else?
To construct those homes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is that true? Is that true with all housing?
I don't know. We're getting into planning, which is, again, you know, is a subset of what
I'm trying to run parallels in my head
the
here.
The important thing is that the city has that land designated and available for that. And really, that's what the city has land use authority, but there's not a mandate for the city to build housing, but to have that available and to encourage it and have a number of programs that encourage the development of that.
So you can't have facade grants, but you can.
Right. Well,
you need financing set aside for that.
The land and the policies available to both encourage and support the development of that type of housing.
So it's more of a general use or general plan or housing elements and things of that nature.
Yeah, the housing element, which is a portion of the city's general plan. So there's a number of policies of things that we can do. We've also pursued some grants to, you know, help facilitate the development of some of that housing as well.
Are there contractors lining up to do that kind of stuff? I mean, is there enough margin there for them rather than doing the traditional housing, particularly in the environment we have now where you just need bedrooms?
There seems to be a lot of competition between contractors to build multifamily housing in the city. So, again, we're consistently seeing more and more multifamily housing projects, which, you know, I think everybody, if, you know, the vibe is, you know, more housing, the better of all kinds, right?
Build it and I think recognizing
that supporting some of the, you know, the lower, extremely low income housing is important. But the city, again, our general fund is smaller than it would cost for one development project. And, you know, half of that goes to the police. So the city, you know, in the absence of grants, and we have a very small planning staff, two people, you know, it's a tough thing for the city to take on and do projects. It is easier for larger cities that want to get more involved.
So there are some cities in California that are actually doing?
Absolutely. Yeah, they're pursuing different types of grants to create that housing.
Okay, to attract the private sector to do the actual
cutting
and nailing.
Or they're building them and putting out contracts. So, you know, I think
So they're landlords in some of the cities or actual landlords?
Yeah. So I know that, some, you know, and I don't have we're not doing this, so I'm kind of aware of other things that are happening, but some cities.
You go to the meetings.
some cities will pursue grants to be able to build that housing and then let out a contract. You know, they'll work on the design just like you would any other project. They'll do, you know, the permitting, design and construction and oversee that and build that. And then, you know, I'm not sure, how the grant funding ties into the operation of those, if it goes on, you know, indefinitely, or if there's a portion of the grant for the operation, or if county social services comes in and provides that operation. You know, I'm not sure how the long-term funding for the operation of those housing projects goes, but I think the ideal would be that it's once you build it, if you have those grants to build it, that you have enough income from those units to be able to support the operation, probably with some level of, you know, subsidies for extremely low. Yeah, probably from county social services, I'm imagining, but again, we haven't really been in that business in the city. We just, you know, we have a difficult time just staying up with the development, our utilities, the mandates for, you know, organics, recycling, you name it. We could go down a long list of things that we have happening.
You brought up utilities.
We love utilities and roads. I know it's your favorite subject.
And any movement with PG&E? Any clarity? Any relaxation?
Well,
any good news?
No, but we've had some meetings with them, and they have not backed away from their position that they're going to be able to provide service for the applications that we have in, and that the, you know, the applications that we were anticipating when we gave them a list, when they went to the county and said, hey, we can serve Fortuna over the next couple of years for what's foreseeable, and then after they make some improvements, we should be able to serve them after that. I am aware that they are making some substation improvements, which was limiting the service to a couple of projects, including the city's battery packs. And I'm told that the kind of strange power outage we had on Friday was related to that within the city. I think it was kind of coming on and off. And
work that they were doing?
They were working on the substation is what I was told. Yeah.
Well, then you want to celebrate that, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like, all right, a power outage. But knowing that it's for a reason and that they're making substation improvements is, you know, gives me a little bit of confidence that they'll be able to serve those projects. And I know they had a relatively short timeline to do some improvements that they communicated to the local jurisdictions. And I'm pleased that they're doing that. And I hope that they're able to follow through. And You know, it's really important. There's some big projects that are going on right now. The expansion of the brewery into Fortuna, the mill site has been purchased, and all those projects depend on power. So I'm excited for them to be able to follow through on their commitment to provide power to those projects.
And we'll talk about those when we come back. It's 8:30. Oh, we get. Oh, that's right. We get the extra minute.
Right. Because you lost the national
there.
Feed.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you just go to the break early, Winston, and then we'll come back.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Merritt Perry. Talked a little bit about housing, but you've also got some big developments, hopefully, that are going to be causing some more demand on housing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last time you were here, you mentioned the mill site was kind of chugging along a little bit, continuing to chug along.
Yeah, well, the mill site, there's a new owner of the mill site, so it's no longer Town of Scotia, which I think was... you know, spun off from Marathon, which was a creditor to Pacific Lumber, you know, going back a little bit.
You go back. Yeah.
And there wasn't really a lot of interest from Town of Scotia to do any planning or any work to develop the property.
Well, it would be a weird situation anyway, one town owning a big chunk of property in another town.
Not as unusual as you would think, though. I mean,
really?
It's not another town. It's a private company that owned it, right?
So yeah, but...
their interest was really in marketing it. It was an investment, but I don't think they wanted to make the investment in the planning and have it more of a long-term property to perform for them. And, you know, I don't think they were in any hurry to do so. I think their focus was on Scotia proper and trying to, you know, get all those homes sold and deal with their infrastructure issues there. And
the immediate stuff right
in
front of them.
So yeah. There was never a focus on what was happening in Fortuna. There just weren't the assets there that could probably create cash flow for them. So really it was kind of just... in a situation where there wasn't a lot of presence there, the city had to deal with a lot of nuisance issues, and we really kind of, you know, we were seeing, you know.
An attractive nuisance, isn't that what it's used for?
Just there, yeah. There wasn't really a strong presence on the property, and so different things are happening there. We'll just say that yeah. Shouldn't be happening.
You and your government speak.
Yeah.
But that's changed.
That's changed, yeah. A gentleman by the name of Vince Rizzo from Sonoma County, who has done commercial real estate developments, has a company that's going to be called Fortuna Commerce Center, I believe. And so right now they are working on some of their site plans and their development of the site. And they also are going to be working. The city took up, before this property sold, the city has been working on a specific plan with a fund from a Headwaters grant, also an SB 62 grant from the state. So really trying to look at how can we update the land use and zoning to allow for development of the site, do some of the work to identify what infrastructure needs are needed, are necessary on the site, and some of the preliminary planning for those.
Part of the Caltrans stuff you were talking about, right?
That's a little bit different. That's for the interchanges.
That's not associated with that site?
Well, it's related. It's at both ends. So the city's right. Still working on both of the interchange projects, but the planning for the mill site itself will include looking at the utilities. Drainage is a really big one. And then land use. What is the range of possibilities for the use of that site?
So I would imagine this fellow's got a pretty good idea what he wants.
Yeah. And
that works with what
you'd have to speak
are.
To him. I don't want to go too far to speak about what his plans are.
Well, bring him in next time.
I'll do that.
We got another mic. We can do this.
They really seem to be taking a cooperative approach working with the city. They want to have a range of commercial uses anywhere from light industrial through some portions of retail where it, you know, it fronts against the city street, you know, the city streets like Newburgh or Fortuna Boulevard, and really opening up for a range of uses and marketing that space. And so I think with, you know, they have around 70 acres of the site, and they are really looking at proceeding in a straightforward manner, doing the planning work, you know, creating the space that could be used for the variety of purposes, and then really marketing the site towards businesses that want to locate there. So
one of the cool things that we heard last week when Jane Capps was in from Humboldt was a breaking ground in February for that building.
Mm-hmm.
When will the public be able to start to see change on the mill site?
You know, that's a good question. You know, they've started to abate some of the nuisance. There's a lot of pampas grass that I saw they had somebody out there scraping out. You know, they gave the city the consent to enforce trespassing. So if there's people on the site doing things that they shouldn't, our police will be very active in trying to make sure that doesn't happen. And, you know, their approach of, you know, working with the city to develop a plan and land uses that fit with what the city's vision are, although they're going to be changing, we seem to have a similar idea. So the city, as we move forward, will be starting to have some public meetings to seek public input in advance of a general plan amendment.
You said he's from Sonoma County.
Yeah.
I think many of us that are, oh boy, how do I say this without sounding elderly? Let's say been around for 30 years or so.
Yeah.
Remember when Windsor was a field.
Right.
Is that kind of the sense of what to anticipate? Is he involved in that part of Sonoma County?
No, they're looking more at commercial. There's some deed restrictions on the property that prohibit housing from being there.
Oh, at all?
On a majority of the property. Not to say that that couldn't change.
So not the second floor apartment thing?
No. And so I don't expect it's going to be anything like, you know, Town of Windsor type developments.
How about some of the shopping centers of Windsor?
You know, I just don't think that's in their vision.
Okay.
I think they're looking at a range of commercial uses anywhere from, you know, like, you know, it could be anywhere from distribution facility to light manufacturing to along some of the roadway frontages where they're going to have more customer focused areas.
So more of a traditional mixed.
Yeah.
Non-residential.
Yeah. Almost like a light industrial park with some aspects that are more customer facing kind of towards, you know, the edges of the site. But a majority of it's going to be open for different types of light industrial uses, I think.
So if I ask you,
we're still in the development
right,
process,
but early on.
That's kind of their vision, and I don't think they have, you know, tenants identified yet. But we'll see, you know. And I can't really say exactly what they have going on because I don't know. So
it's always wise not to talk if you don't know the answer, right? I mean, it doesn't slow some folks up, but
yeah. No, but I'm encouraged. You know,
it sounds like this is a big win.
I think so because, you know, they were kind of waiting in the wings following the city's planning process when they were looking to purchase the property. They've come up with some site plans and ideas that they have. They've shown a willingness to, you know, put the money into the development of the plan, you know, the planning process and the infrastructure and supporting the city's, you know, planning process going forward. And so, you know, it seems to be that it's going to be a win-win, you know, cooperative planning process. And, you know, as long as the vision doesn't differ between what the city and the public thinks versus what this developer wants to do. But I think generally the Fortuna, you know, the city really wants to see that site just not be a nuisance and to be productive.
Cleaned up.
Yeah. And they're not looking at a heavy retail focus or some big mall that could suck the wind out of downtown. In fact, you know, they're looking to create the kind of spaces for businesses that have a hard time locating in the community just because there's a lack of larger commercial parcels. So that means jobs, you know, other people wanting to live in the city. It means more people buying groceries and gas and supporting the other businesses in the city.
The thing that I think was probably, even though it may not have been intentional.
Yeah.
It was always referred to as the mill site.
Yeah.
Okay. What's on a mill site? A mill.
Right.
Okay. So industrial. Reference over and over and over and over. So the fact that there's not housing in there and that it has been kind of presented in that style, now you're just kind of fulfilling that title, that reference.
Yeah, and I think they're going to change the name to the Fortuna Commerce Center. So
which even softens it a little bit more. I mean, if it had been that and they were calling it the mill site,
right?
You'd probably have people getting all excited, but it's rounded edges now a little bit.
Yeah. So we'll see. For you'll have to talk to the property owner if you want more details, but that's the big picture that we're seeing. And again, there's going to be a public process where the city brings forward the specific plan and the potential change, you know, and the proposed changes to the land use and zoning and general plan.
How detailed does that get, Mary? I mean, will he say XYZ retailer? Or we say retail space 1, 2, 3, 4, and
it's
just
more
leave
of a land
way.
Use planning level, so it'll be a new land use designation and zoning that will specify what types of uses can happen on that property. So the opposite, it's really not going to say, there won't be any specifics of what type of business will go in there, but a range that are acceptable. And really their goal is to keep it as broad as possible to be able to market those to, you know, whoever shows up that, you know, wants to locate there. But
well, it to me, because it is an industrial or light industrial, with the two exits that are there, it's ideal.
And yeah,
it's just
three.
Laid out.
Right.
What, you're going to cut another one in?
Yeah, on to Fortuna Boulevard.
Oh.
Yeah, kind of across where Burger King and McDonald's are.
Okay, there's a joke there somewhere. Where's Winston? We got to go to a break, or I'm in deep doo doo.
So, you know, good access is important to the site, and the city's, you know, currently working on the interchange projects, one at Kenmar and one at 12th Street. So we're doing the preliminary design for those in environmental document, so the CEQA portion of those projects. And right now, the CEQA document's out for circulation on the Kenmar interchange. And then we're probably, you know, within a year of having the preliminary design and environmental document for the 12th Street interchange.
Will they do both at the same time or two separate projects?
So we only have funding for the initial phases now. So it really is contingent upon state and federal funding for those interchange projects.
KINS, news and information time, it's 8:45.
Hearty and healthy foods are abundant at Murphy's Markets. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast is now $5.99 a pound. USDA Choice New York Strip Steak, $15.99 a pound. And USDA Grade A Boneless Skinless Chicken Thighs are only $3.99 a pound. Complement this with a Greek salad, now just $7.99 a pound, topped with Kraft salad dressing for only $3.75 for a 16-ounce bottle. Murphy's Markets, more than a grocer, your neighbor since 1971.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:50. We're back talking shop this morning with Fortuna City Manager Merritt Perry. Merritt, you also indicated that the brewery is having some cool stuff going on as
well.
Yeah,
you know, we're excited to see them expanding their facility, and so it's not a huge change, but they are, you know, building
a bigger
storage
footprint.
And cold storage, right, and bringing some more of their operations to the city. And so, you know, I think the brewery is a great example of a successful business that a lot of people appreciate, and so we're glad to see the Vivistons really working to keep that business and local and keep doing what they're doing.
I think that there's a misnomer somehow that if businesses aren't able to expand, that they still will stick around. A lot of these folks, they get to a certain point and they have to expand. I mean, it's not an option. The question is, can they stay here or do they have to relocate somewhere else to do the expansion?
Right. Or can you either have to expand or become more efficient? Right? Yeah, and I think they're focusing on efficiency. And again, I don't know what their plans are, but where the city could play a role is we worked closely with them and kind of understanding their needs time-wise, and we expedited reviews, as would we do for any business that really has a project that's critical.
So it's not all zoned for whatever tourist serving or
what they're doing is consistent with the zoning, but just really helping to get their building permits quickly was what they expressed was important. And you know, if any business in the city really comes to us and said, hey, this is critical, we're going to do our best to try to help them meet their timelines.
Well, hopefully everybody will.
Yeah.
Nah, give me 5 years.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Yeah.
I don't think that's...
Well, some folks don't have an aggressive timeline, and so they can wait with the, you know, for the normal times. But there's other projects which, you know, they're really important to businesses, and we want to pay attention to those.
It's cool that you have that flexibility.
You know,
to be able to do that and respond.
It's one of the nice things about working for a small city. Again, we have a small planning staff. We have a small building staff. They're familiar with the types of projects that are being done. And, you know, when you know the business owners and they can call you and kind of explain their situation and you can convey that to staff and do the best you can to meet their timelines, that's how it should work.
Where you lean back in the chair and say, hey, Bob, can you run out there and take care of this one for me?
Yeah, not exactly.
But... not that small, huh?
No.
All right, no. Well, the metropolitan community of Fortuna.
Right.
Good stuff. Thanks for coming by.
My pleasure.
See everybody tomorrow.